Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the HR Room Podcast. In today's episode, we're discussing a topic that many teams find quite challenging and something that can take place for many different reasons. This week, we're talking about the topic of workplace investigations. And to talk about this topic today, we're delighted to be joined by Liam Barton, Senior HR Consultant here at Insight HR. How are you, Liam?
Very well, Owen. Thank you.
Great. And as always, we're also joined by our very own Mary Cullen, Founder and Managing Director here at Insight HR. Hello, Mary. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Owen.
Brilliant. So let's jump right in and kind of set the context, I suppose, Mary, so we kick off with yourself. So I suppose, what is a workplace investigation and why would a company need to conduct one?
A workplace investigation is the examination of a situation, whatever that situation is. And an employer will typically engage in one or organize one when they're concerned about the behavior or the conduct or the attitude or a particular incident involving an employee. Typically, an organization will handle most internal investigations themselves. So, you know, you could have an investigation when an employee raises a grievance about an element of their working life. Typically, those would be around bullying, harassment, sexual harassment. An employer may initiate an investigation if they're concerned about a financial irregularity, if they suspect fraud or theft. Or an employer may initiate an investigation if there's a specific incident in the workplace, like, an alleged abuse of interaction between employees or customers, or, some other kind of behavior which the organization deems would be unacceptable if it was found to have actually occurred. Typically, most investigations get handled in-house, but when things are really serious, they're outsourced. And HR people tend to outsource them because they're complex, they're legal, they have the potential to involve litigation somewhere in the future. And they're dotting the I's and crossing their T's. Also, they're so time consuming from an individual perspective that if any HR person or employees to get involved in conducting a workplace investigation, it can take hours and hours and hours of time, often time which an organization doesn't have to spare.
I think kind of building on that for yourself, Liam, I suppose we do talk quite a lot about how HR teams have kind of been stretched over the past couple of years. I suppose it was always a tough role, but there has been additional kind of stresses and strains and things to be doing. So I think building on what Mary's saying there, so what are kind of some of the reasons, and if we can get into a bit of detail on why, I suppose, a HR team would look for an external provider when it comes to workplace investigations. It's probably things like impartiality as well, Liam, wouldn't it be, I suppose, not just kind of time, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, as alluded to by Mary in her answer to you, Owen, there's a huge body of work that goes into it. And I think very often people who aren't familiar with the carrying out of a workplace investigation to the standard that is required, very often will underestimate the time involved. And typically the scenarios that Mary and I come across is that you have a HR department within the business or the entity. There is an issue which Mary has alluded to in terms of there may be a potential breach of policy, whether it's health and safety, dignity at work, theft, IT policy, etc. And the business is saying, well, you know, surely the HR department can, you know, investigate this matter. And I suppose there's a couple of things there. Typically, the HR department have enough on their plate in the current climate in terms of, you know, providing support to the business, etc. And I think very often there needs to be an examination in terms of the expertise, the experience, the knowledge within the HR department to actually carry out a correct workplace investigation and to properly examine the issue at hand. And that is a skill. And I think it's a skill that Inside HR we've developed over many years. Also, you mentioned very briefly the whole area of impartiality. I think that's a very, very important point because the recently updated code of practice on bullying, you know, reference the possibility of an independent investigation and certainly put a huge emphasis on the quality and competency and knowledge of the investigator to carry that out. So I think what the code of practices essentially are now outlining to businesses is, you know, does the person have expertise in carrying out workplace investigations? Have they trained or been trained in this particular area? And what challenges have they come across? Because I think it's really only when you're tested, as Mary and myself and the team at Inside HR have been over the last 10 to 12 years in the whole arena of workplace investigations, that your knowledge grows and develops. So there are a number of reasons why an organization would look outside. I think impartiality and independence are key things, Owen, because, you know, particularly within a smaller organization where there's a level of intimacy or a lot of people are very closely connected, it's very, very difficult for a person to be impartial and to sort of almost emotionally bring themselves out of the organization and look forensically, but with a detached view in relation to what has actually occurred. So that's a huge issue. And time and resources. So, you know, it takes time, it's interviews, it's drafting terms of reference, it's carrying out comprehensive interviews, it's getting minutes typed up, it's looking at those, it's analysing in a very forensic and calm manner the evidence before you. It's coming to very, very serious conclusions and findings in relation to what has or hasn't occurred. And then it's preparing a draft report and final report. So it's a very serious body of work. So many, many organizations, for that point of view, I think, aren't confident and they put their confidence and trusted partner outside the organization who have the skills and expertise to carry out the workplace investigation.
I think for something that complex, I suppose, and there's obviously, as I think we spoke about the different reasons that can happen, there's obviously some very kind of complex, serious kind of issues that can arise that can lead to it. So I suppose, Liam, what's kind of the cost of getting something like this wrong?
Yeah, there's a huge cost. I mean, I suppose in terms of getting it wrong, I mean, there's a number of ways that things can go south. For a start, very often, and one of the key things that we would take, you know, a good bit of time around is the framing of the terms of reference. So what's the issue? What is or what are the areas of concern that are going to be investigated? What is going to be investigated and what isn't going to be investigated? And I think very often where investigators go wrong is they don't have very clear and definitive terms of reference. So there's a level of ambiguity between what is and isn't being investigated. Typically the person who may be accused of alleged wrongdoing will say, well, the terms of reference are too broad. You know, this is a witch hunt. And my client or my employee isn't being treated fairly. So I think experience around the framing of the terms of reference and what it is possible to investigate. And this is particularly so where, you know, you may have complaints that have gone on over a number of years. Some people may have left the organization. There may be a lack of visibility in terms of corroborating evidence, you know, against a particular employee. So I think I would emphasize within an investigation, the real importance of spending time in terms of the workplace investigation. And typically, being honest about it, sometimes there's pressure from the business for a particular outcome. I think it's important to, you know, carry out an independent, impartial investigation. I think sometimes there's a rush to judgment. So it would appear on the face of it that there's a case to be answered. But once we, which we do, once we start asking a few questions, we gain a little bit more evidence. We hold up the allegations to a very, very serious standard. Then, you know, maybe the evidence starts to drift away and it's not as it would have first appeared. So I think the cost of getting it wrong is that sometimes a business may make a decision based on a flawed report. And very often in terms of the workplace relations, they will look forensically at three things. If it does come before them in terms of a dismissal, they look at the substantive issue, they look at the procedural fairness, and they will hone in on the investigatory process, all of the standards in terms of the right to due process and natural justice, and they'll also look at proportionality. So typically, if an organization hasn't got an investigation report to the standard required and they implement a dismissal, they might be facing potentially up to 2 years of an award in the WRC. And the other point I mentioned, Owen, and it came up with a case me and the team were just discussing yesterday, in terms of you may have done the investigatory and disciplinary process correctly. It's very, very important to also think about proportionality. So, you know, the punishment, if I can use that word, should fit the crime in terms of the proportionality and the length of service of the particular employee. So even if you have done a very, very forensic investigatory report and possibly got a third party to do it on your behalf, you know, you still have to look at, you know, the proportionality in terms of possibly the wrongdoing and the potential termination of employment, and whether those two sit together. In terms of, very often you're looking at probably a warning or sanction of a lesser nature rather than a dismissal.
I suppose that I think a lot of what we usually say, Mary, is kind of prevention is better than cure. I think a lot of what we talk about here, we talk about obviously how can we prevent these kind of things before they happen. And I think, as we said, there's a lot of different reasons a workplace investigation can be the end solution to something. But I suppose, Mary, what can HR teams and organizations do to kind of prevent the need for something like this? Is it kind of culture? Is it kind of policies? What would be some of the tips?
I don't think you can ever really eliminate the need for a workplace investigation because, you know, human beings are complex. Behavior is complex. And, you know, in the real world, things happen every single day that, you know, somebody may have in the moment done something that is completely out of character. So, you know, fights occur, conflict occurs between individuals, people try to cover up and hide mistakes, and all sorts of things happen. And these are some of the things that we typically get involved in. You know, extramarital affairs happen in the workplace, complaints can be made afterwards. The weird and the wonderful happen in the world of human beings. And really the workplace is just an extension of what happens in life in many ways. There are rules, there are standards, there are behavioral codes in terms of what we expect from employees in the workplace. It's so important that that's clear right at the outset. So if we in HR see a large number of complaints coming in around dignity at work issues, or we see that a lot of complaints center around a particular manager, or we become aware that the same thing is happening over and over, and it's in those areas that you can have and make an impact by, you know, ensuring that you're training everybody on your dignity at work in the workplace, ensuring everybody understands what is and is not acceptable behavior, having clear policies and procedures around how you will respond if there are issues around security or covering something up or theft, irrespective of the amount or value. So there's many things you can do to eliminate the areas where problems can occur in the workplace. But human beings are human beings, and, you know, as long as we all come together, there will be areas for every organization to investigate over time. A lot of organizations invest in training line managers to carry out investigations themselves. But when things get more serious, it really is important that impartiality is there. And often HR people run away from things like sexual harassment, having no experience in carrying out those investigations, complex issues around fraud and theft. And you know, we don't tend to get the simple things, we tend to get the complex issues that are likely to end up in litigation, and the employer is looking for a safe pair of hands to come in and objectively look at the facts, not go down rabbit holes, make sure that it's a robust report that withstands external scrutiny. And that's whether that's in the WRC or up to High Court standard. And, you know, that report is important from an organizational perspective.
We're kind of getting into the nitty gritty, I suppose, and this is kind of a two-part question, really. I'll come to yourself for this firstly. I suppose if it does come to it and you do have to conduct a workplace investigation, I suppose what are some of the key things to look out for? I suppose whether you're doing it yourself or whether you're going to an external provider for it.
That's a good question. I think if I take the second part first, in terms of going to the external provider, I think I'd be asking a couple of questions around, you know, who is going to be conducting the investigation? What is their level of experience in the broader HR world? But specifically, you know, what's their level of experience or expertise in the conducting of workplace investigations? You know, because, you know, if I had somebody coming in to paint my house on, I would need to establish that they've actually painted houses before I let them off with their paintbrush. So, you know, I think it's important from an organizational point of view, from an integrity point of view, from a kind of reputational damage point of view, that they ensure and satisfy themselves that the organization they're contracting in to provide the service of carrying out a workplace investigation have extensive experience in this regard and have conducted numerous workplace investigations over a period of time. Because I certainly have come across, you know, investigation reports on my travels, which in some instances have been conducted by people who don't have a lot of experience in this area. And that's clear from reading the report. And the second thing, you know, I point out is that, you know, you need to make sure that the person is fully experienced in the preparation of terms of reference, coming to findings of fact, that they have specific technical knowledge in terms of the preparation and the writing of the report. I think there's two aspects to the workplace investigations. There's the investigation in of itself, where you're analyzing the information. And then there's the writing of the report. And they're almost a separate skill set, because, you know, the investigation is very much asking questions, looking at evidence, coming up with and probing in a non kind of sort of offensive way in terms of the evidence. And then you have to very, very calmly and in an almost detached way, forensically examine the evidence and come to findings of fact in relation to the terms of reference, and limiting yourself in terms of the findings of facts to the terms of reference. What were you specifically asked about? So I think on our travels, you know, I would have seen, you know, one particular report on that springs to mind, that, you know, the client told me they paid, I think, between 15 and 20K. And when I read the report, I was no wiser, really, in terms of the actual findings of what specifically are you telling me? What do I know after the investigation report, after reading the 27-page document that I didn't know before? And I had to say I was very, very confused. And the report took me on this almost magical, mystical tour of all, but at the end, it didn't give me the definitive evidence or statement that I was looking for. So I think it's very, very important that you establish, has the person expertise? Have they training in this area? Do they actually know what they're doing? Because certainly we would have come across, you know, reports written, some by HR professionals, some by solicitors, barristers, and from our point of view, they wouldn't meet the standard that we would expect in terms of terms of reference and findings of fact, etc. So I think it's just important for the organization to ask a couple of questions. What's your level of expertise? Who will actually be carrying out the workplace investigation? You know, how many workplace investigations have you carried out in the past? And you don't need to say, well, you know, I did one for company A and it, you know, here was my findings. You know, it's just general questions in terms of satisfying your curiosity in terms and comforting yourself with regard to the level of knowledge and expertise of the person coming in doing the investigation.
They're stressful, aren't they, investigations? Yeah. And, you know, we've been conducting them over many years. Liam and I, both of us have conducted investigations and extensive and complex ones over many years. And they are stressful. There's no two ways about it. In some ways, you know, the investigation itself, provided you know what you're doing, is easier than the report writing. The report writing, I have known HR people to, you know, get immensely stressed during the report writing stage of an investigation process. And in order to do it effectively, you've got to be able to write. If you can't write to a very high standard of English, and you're not clear and logical in your thought processes on paper, and I would say do not take it on, because as Liam says, if you're tasked with producing a report and you have, you know, a huge file full of interviews that you've conducted, and assuming that they're sound in themselves and that you haven't led witnesses down rabbit holes or witnesses haven't led you down rabbit holes, and you've stuck to the terms of reference and investigated what you're meant to do, you still have this massive body of work on the other side, which is preparing a report, ensuring that you cover everything that you're meant to cover, that it's well written, that it's grammatically correct, that it's error free, and that if somebody like a third party picks it up, that you can stand over it and be proud of what you've produced. And so many times I've had HR people come to me in tears asking me to review a report, and in all honesty, I would have been quicker saying, I tell you what, give me all the evidence, I'll write the report, rather than try and edit what they produced. And because if you're going down the wrong route in a report, it can be very hard to pull it back, and it can be very hard to rewrite it, if that makes sense. So I would say, you know, be careful. If it's complex, my advice would be almost certainly outsource it, because it will take hours and hours of your time. It will require skills that you may or may not have. And even if you do have them, you may find yourself writing your reports in the evenings and at the weekends when you can get total silence away from the rest of your day job. So it's not straightforward by any stretch.
The other point I make, taking up Mary's point there on, is, you know, and it just appeared to me as she was talking, you know, for the HR manager or the person in industry or whoever is writing the report, what supports have you available to you? Because, you know, Mary's mentioned, you know, stressful job. It's so much easier when you have a peer or a mentor who you within your organization who you can lead. And I'm very fortunate that I have Mary and have a team at Inside HR and vice versa. So, you know, you can get someone else within the organization to look at your report, to critique it. And we have a series of, you know, review processes which any report would go out through. But if you're there on your own, Owen, and, you know, you're grappling with this and you're pulling your hair out, it's a very, very lonely place. And, you know, you may come to a particular, you know, challenge or blockage, and, you know, who's going to support you? Do you have, you know, a legal specialist in the background? Do you have a report writer? Do you have somebody who's, you know, 20 plus years experience in terms of writing reports or, you know, investigatory processes? So it's very hard when you're a lone person writing that report, and you don't have the support around you. And we're very lucky at Inside HR that we have, you know, a structure to support the investigator and the report writer. So I think that, you know, what support you have in terms of even simple things like the typing of minutes, who's going to type the minutes? You're going to do that yourself? You're going to outsource it? Is it going to be done by dictaphone or by recording on Zoom? So these are all things, if you're not familiar with a workplace investigation, these are all challenges you're going to have to overcome. But particularly, I would emphasize the report writing aspect of it. That is a serious piece of work, which very often somebody will need support on.
Yeah, and don't forget GDPR. GDPR and investigations could be the subject for a whole other podcast. So I'm not going to get into the ins and outs and the technicalities involved there. You know, the investigator is expected to carry out an investigation without consulting back and forth with the managing director or their line manager or the line manager of the individual. They're meant to carry out an independent investigation. And so, you know, sometimes we're finding that people are emailing, you know, and copying five or six people in on what they discovered today in an interview that they conducted, or giving a viewpoint on the investigation before it's complete or before they completed investigations. So remember, you know, from a GDPR perspective, anything that you write or circulate, somebody can put in a subject access request for. And if your investigation is found to be flawed because you've already predetermined the outcome before completing it, as sometimes is the case, then you can find yourself in quite a bit of hot soup. So I would just say, don't forget GDPR. It now pervades everything that we do in HR.
I think at the end of the day, Mary, I suppose it's a case of whether you're doing it yourself or outsourcing it, you obviously want to have a bit of understanding of what the process is, because you gain a lot of confidence from that in the first instance, not just understanding what is a workplace investigation, what are the main things. So look, hopefully that did help everyone, gave people a good start. And luckily, I suppose a little bit of a world exclusive to our fans on the podcast, where our next webinar will be solely on workplace investigations, and the registration for that will open this Friday after the conclusion of our employment law webinar on Wednesday. So do keep an eye out for that and sign up to learn more, because as we said, they're a very complex topic. We could go on about it for hours, which we will do. So do sign up and kind of learn more. So thank you, Mary and Liam, for a very insightful discussion. Thank you to everyone for listening, and we'll catch you next week for the next installment of our podcast. So don't forget to click subscribe and join the discussion on our social media channels. And as always, for HR consultancy services and management you can trust, get in touch with us anytime at insidehr.ie. Thank you, Liam. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you all.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room podcast, the podcast series from Inside HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insidehr.ie/podcast. That's www.insidehr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.